Big Red Bench. With Kiri's Hyundai. Believe everything you hear. Kiri's of Cork, Mallow and Middleton. Kiri's.ie. Red
FM. Good evening, folks. Hope you're well on this Saturday evening. Rory and Lisa here with you on till 7 o'clock tonight. Coming up over the next hour, it's as you were at the top of the table.
Two victories, one in the Champions League and one today. And today without the special performance, but a performance good enough for people to be calm and confident that the 3 points were going to stay here.
Also tonight, Patrick Horgan talks to us about being named Munster Hurler of the Year.
You could have picked any one of the 15 of our team, to be honest, because if you look back at all the games, there was no one played bad or anything. Everyone played out their skin, Mike. So I'd say it was just the lucky one that got picked out, like, you know.
Also coming up tonight, we'll speak to Charlie Lynch of Cork City Women's FC. Tom Tierney talks to us about his new role as Ireland's women's head coach. And we look ahead to Munster. And come on, we'll also talk to the Cork County Boxing Board as well between now and 7 o'clock right here on the Big Red Bench. How are you doing, folks? Hope you're well. Rory O'Hagan here with you for the next hour, along with Lisa Lawler. And if you want to get in touch, you can text us 086 8104 106. You can tweet us as well at Big Red Bench. Tons of stuff to get through over the next hour. Before we do that, Lisa's going to wrap up today's action.
Well, before we get a full roundup of the 3 o'clock games, Rory, in the late game in the Barclays Premier League, Arsenal are leading Newcastle 1-0 thanks to an Olivier Giroud strike in the 15th minute there. Bournemouth are top of the Championship following a 5-3 defeat of Cardiff. Middlesbrough are just behind them on goal difference after they won 2-0 at home to previous leaders Derby. Mick McCarthy's Ipswich miss out on top spot after being held to a scoreless draw at Bolton. Former Sligo Rovers boss Ian Barraclough has been appointed the new Motherwell manager. He saw his new charges concede a last minute goal to finish 2-2 at home with Ross County today. Inverness missed the chance to pull level with leader Celtic, going down 4-0 at home to Partick. Here at home, Cork City have lost 3-0 to Castlebar Celtic in the Women's National League this afternoon. In rugby, Cork Conn will meet Garryowen in the Munster Senior Cup final after beating Young Munster 28-16 at Temple Hill this afternoon. Garryowen beat UL Bowes to progress. A huge second half from half performance has seen Munster A beat Mosley 35-13 in the British and Irish Cup this afternoon, meaning they progress to the knockout stages. Elsewhere, Leinster need to put last week's disappointment at the stoop behind them when Harlequins visit the Aviva this evening. Kick-off at Leinster Road is at 7.45. Ulster's hopes of making the knockout stages are still alive following leaders Toulon's 23-8 win at home to Leicester in Pool 3. Northampton stay top of Pool 5 with a 55-0 bonus point win at home to Treviso. Massive win there. While in Munster's Pool 1, it's Saracens 6, Sale 5. Toulouse are short of a quarter-final spot following their 12-9 defeat of Glasgow in Pool 4 earlier. Connacht coach Pat Lam has rotated his side with several academy players in their starting lineup for their Challenge Cup meeting with Bayonne. Kickoff in France is at 7.45. In Gaelic games, Killa's Tracy Kennedy will be officially ratified as the new vice chairperson for Cork County Board at tomorrow's convention after winning the vote last night. Ballygarvan's Edmund Forrest will be the new PRO, while outgoing chairman Bob Ryan of Inniscarra won the vote for Central Council delegate. Elsewhere in Gaelic games, 6 Cork people will receive awards at the Munster GAA Awards at their gala event in Clare tonight. Alan Cadigan is the under 21 footballer of the year. John Cronin, the intermediate hurler of the year. Jennifer O'Leary will win Camogie player of the year. Angela Walsh, Ladies Footballer of the Year, and Derry Gowan, who picks up the Special Merit Award for Culture. Cork and Glen Rovers' Patrick Corgan has been named the Senior Hurler of the Year. In golf, Brandon Grace remains the man to catch at the Alfred Dunhill Championship in South Africa. He went around a level par 72 to stay top of the leaderboard on 16 under par today. Kevin Phelan is one of the first back in the clubhouse today. The Waterford golfer is 1 under after going around in 72. Darren Clark's disappointing week continues. A third round 73 leaves him some way off the pace on 7 over at the Thailand Open. Leading the way there is Aussie Marcus Fraser on 5 under par. In boxing, Andy Lee has a chance at world title glory tonight. The Limerick boxer takes on the unbeaten Matt Karabov for the vacant WBO middleweight title in Las Vegas. And in basketball, at halftime in the Women's Premier League, Team Montanati Hotel trail DCU Mercy in Glanmire 37-25 there. While underway from 6, Singleton Super Value Brunel have travelled to Killester, hoping to build on last week's cup win over Montanati.
Cheers, Lisa. Just before we move on, just a quick word on Tracy Kennedy and our congratulations to her. It's a fantastic achievement. We'll have her on tomorrow's show when you talk to her at convention, but a fantastic achievement from Tracy. We were talking to her on Wednesday, or Tuesday night, at the Red FM Senior Hurling League check presentation. She wasn't entirely sure if she was going to get the role, but I don't think there was any doubt, was there?
No, not to discount any competitors in any of these awards, but we worked very closely with Tracy, and our thanks to her even echoed on Twitter during the week. Everybody that has dealt with her found her a pleasure to deal with. She's been elected on merit, and no doubt, just like the PRO role where she won PRO of the year, she'll do a great job as vice chair as well. And, you know, the best of luck to her.
Yeah, fantastic. We'll be talking to Tracy on tomorrow evening's show. Going to wrap up today's Premier League action. Still Arsenal 1, Newcastle 0 after 35 minutes. But Chelsea are still top, and it's a kind of a case of boring Chelsea at the minute. Another routine win for them. They made it look easy against Hull as well, without even getting out of second gear. Andrew Cheel.
Chelsea 2, Hull City 0, as comfortable a win as Chelsea would have wanted. They rarely got out of third gear and frankly didn't need to. Eden Hazard headed them into an early lead from Oscar's cross. He later turned provider for Costa to make the points safe. In between Hull's Tom Huddleston got a very deserved straight red card for a nasty tackle on Felipe Luis. Hull had not a single shot anywhere near the goal. It finished Chelsea 2, Hull City 0.
Only Leicester, meanwhile, are below Hull in the Premier League table after their winless run extended to 9 matches. Steve Bruce's side are now 10 points from safety. Bruce not happy with the referee.
There's no disputing. We've had a tough time of late, and today is another one where we can put down and feel aggrieved. So you just have to stick with it and stay with it. I've seen enough today to convince myself that we've got the stomach for the winter ahead.
3 points on the road for a Sergio Aguero-less Manchester City today against Leicester. Graham Lloyd saw it.
Leicester 0, Manchester City 1, a sixth goal of the season 6 minutes before the break by Frank Lampard was enough to keep the champions breathing down Chelsea's necks. Samir Nasri with the cross from the left and Lampard with a typically neat finish. To their credit, Leicester competed well, kept going until the end and gave as good as they got, apart from in the goal-scoring department. The expected cricket score didn't materialise, but it's now 11 games without a win for the Foxes. Leicester 0, Manchester City 1.
And City boss Manuel Pellegrini particularly happy.
I think it's a very important victory. Difficult week for us because we had to play on Wednesday at Rome. After that, come back here to England. We had less than that 72 hours to recover. A lot of injuries, so it was a very difficult game against a good team.
Elsewhere, Sunderland and West Ham played out a draw. Al Ross.
Sunderland 1, West Ham 1, probably about right in the end. Sunderland had a penalty they shouldn't have, and they didn't get a penalty they should have. Both sides had chances they feel they should have taken. Both keepers were tested. West Ham had the better of the first half. By the end, we were holding on with Adrian in the West Ham goal, denying Sunderland all 3 points with a brilliant save from Connor Wickham late on. Honours even, Sunderland 1, West Ham 1.
Elsewhere, a great win for Burnley today against the struggling Southampton side. Paul Anthony.
Burnley 1. Southampton 0, 3 points for Burnley over the 90 minutes, probably deserved this victory. The goal came midway through the second half when a mistake in the Southampton defence allowed Ashley Barnes to race into the box and slot the ball under Fraser Foster. Before Burnley scored, Southampton should have taken the lead from the penalty spot. Tadic saw his kick brilliantly saved by Tom Heaton. Burnley claimed their third win of the season. Southampton go home empty-handed. It's Burnley 1, Southampton 0.
Burnley boss is Sean Dyche.
If you deliver good performances often enough, eventually things turn in your favour, I believe, and the players showed that they believed that, and so that's took us on this nice run. But we're well aware the demands of the Premier League, so we don't get too carried away with it. We know what's in front of us and we know the challenges that are ahead of us.
And Southampton boss is Ronald Koeman.
We play well. I think we play very good in the second half, but then you have to kill the game, and we didn't. And by one mistake, by a throw in, they scored a 1-0.
Honours even between Palace and Stoke. Russell Hargreaves.
Crystal Palace 1, Stoke City 1. A game that promised to be really, really exciting early on, but just faded out, I'm afraid, after early strikes from James McArthur for the home side and from Peter Crouch for the visitors. In the end, a point apiece, useful at least in their respective fights against relegation. Stoke finished the stronger, but Palace had the best of the other chances, with McArthur in particular pulling two fine saves out of Asmir Begovic. Full-time score at Selhurst Park. Palace 1, Stoke 1.
Elsewhere, West Brom had a 1-0 win over Aston Villa. Clive Edwards.
It's West Bromwich Albion 1, Aston Villa 0. The Albion fans are celebrating because that is their first home victory since September. Aston Villa's run of 5 games without a defeat comes to an end. They were reduced to 10 men in the 22nd minute. They struggled on in defence after that. But in the end, West Bromwich Albion's Craig Gardner, a former Aston Villa player, scored the only goal of this game. It finished Albion 1, Villa 0.
Aston Villa bosses Paul Lambert.
I thought we were well in the game, 11-11. We were a dominant team, a lot of the ball, and never under really any pressure. But the sending off, I think, changes the course of the game. But all credit to the team, we kept on going right until that final whistle.
So that's Aston Villa boss Paul Lambert. Still looking for number two after Roy Keane left the club a couple of weeks back. Some interesting comments being made about Roy Keane today. In the Daily Mail, I believe it was, they had a senior source within Aston Villa saying that basically his standards were too high and that's why the players didn't take to him.
Yeah, who's coming out looking bad out of this one?
The Aston Villa players.
Surprisingly, not Roy Keane, it's the Aston Villa players. It's ridiculous to think that...
They just want an easy life, basically, free money.
It's not good. It's not good enough for a player to... you know, crib about a manager or assistant manager wanting high standards. That's unbelievable. So for once, this source anyway is doing Roy a favour here, but if it's to be believed, of course.
Yeah, it's incredible stuff, basically saying that they Aston Villa players didn't like being challenged, didn't like working hard, and that's why they didn't get on with Roy Keane, who, as we all know from reading his autobiographies, demands 110% from everyone that he works with, going back to his Manchester United days and even before that as well. So yeah, Villa players not looking too good.
No, they're not coming off the best of this one, and you'd have like, I don't know, sorry, I'm just, it baffles me. It baffles me. Like, to aside from any, even if they weren't professionals, to think that a player could have a row with the manager over the manager's standards, assistant manager, I keep saying manager, sorry, but assistant manager or a member of management that has standards too high, it says a lot about the sports person, I think.
It certainly does. We've got a couple of signed copies of Roy Keane's book to give away. Of course, he was in Easton's during the week signing copies. Easton's have given us several copies to give away. We'll be giving those away on next weekend's shows. So if you're looking for a last minute stocking filler and want a signed book, a signed copy of Roy Keane's book signed by the man himself, I'd be sure to tune into our shows next weekend. Right, Cork City Women's FC played their last game of 2014 this afternoon. A disappointing 3-0 defeat against Castlebar Celtic in Bishopstown. After the game there, boss Charlie Lynch joined me in studio for a chat, and we started by talking about that game this afternoon.
Disappointing. 3-0, I thought going into the game we stood a good chance. The way the first half panned out, we were even. Maybe I thought we slightly bossed the game. Difference being they took two good, very good chances, we didn't.
Is that the difference at this level, just teams take their chances?
I think so, and they're that little bit sharper at the moment than what we're at. Certainly today again it showed we had plenty of possession, we had pretty few chances, but we're taking the shots too early. Shot selection probably isn't great, and then you're looking at their break and the score. That's what's frustrating about today. Second half died a bit really once they got the third goal. We created a lot of chances after that again, but no real finish.
Is it just the experience, I suppose, when it comes to taking chances?
I think so. With us, like most of the girls are new to this level. And even one or two of the good Cork players that came in there in the last couple of weeks or last couple of months, they've discovered the game. It's faster, it's sharper, and if you don't do things quickly, you're caught.
That is the difference, I suppose, when they're coming up from the local leagues.
It is, yeah, and a lot of younger players coming through as well. They're not used to this type of level, and a lot of people think, look at the National League and say, "Nah, what is it? How is it different?" It's different in pace, in strength, and these players are playing enough for the last couple of years, and you can see when they walk onto the pitch, there's a difference. We're still, some of our players still know, I think. You're walking out and you're walking into, these are good, you know. Instead of we thinking we should be good, you know, because training is going very well. We're training very hard, but training well is going very well in training. We're lasting the pace a lot better. Our fitness levels have definitely come up, but definitely finishing off and being just a little bit sharper on the ball. We're not as quick to the ball sometimes as we should be.
But the only way you can get that quickness is by playing matches, I guess.
That's it, yeah. No, it's a learning process. This whole season's a learning process, and it is very frustrating at the moment because we're looking at points slipping past that we should have picked up. You know, last week, we were up against Rahini, an excellent side. And it was mostly defence for the game, but we played good defence. You know, they worked the ball well out of defence. We got the breaks on. We made a few breaks. But again, when we made the breaks, we were taking the shots way too early. You know, it's just experience, I suppose, because it's a very inexperienced team when it comes down to it.
We spoke at the start of the season. You kind of said to me that you knew it was going to be a tough job and you came to it. How have you found the experience overall?
I've enjoyed the experience. It is tough and possibly a little bit tougher than I anticipated. Yeah. We've been dogged with injuries. Like, it started to take one step forward, two steps back. We get one player back. Like, we lost another player now last week with Chip Bone. She's out for the next 6 weeks. Mm. Nat O'Brien has been out since September, I think. And she's not back until February. You know, we're constantly losing. We lost, you know, Katie McCarthy, you know, came off injured in the second half. And we're actually playing a couple of players who maybe shouldn't be playing at the moment, carrying injuries. But the injury list just seems to grow. So that's the frustration part of it as well.
I suppose, but the injury list, I suppose the break is coming at the right time.
Oh, definitely. And we've actually got a bonus because they've pushed the league back a little bit further. They changed the fixtures last week.
Right.
So our next game now is not until the 25th of January. So that's given us 6 weeks to sort a lot of things out. We have a few players coming in the break as well. So hopefully that'll help strengthen the team.
Can you give us any clues to who they are?
Well, they've got two local girls. Well, sorry, one local. She's playing with CIT. I won't give her a name for the moment. I'll play Teller Club. And we have a Spanish girl playing with CIT, a striker who's coming, who's playing with us. She trained with us now this week. She looks sharp up front.
Yeah.
Which we need. We need that little cutting edge.
A little pace and the cuteness, I suppose.
Yeah, because like, Vanessa's more or less only playing on her own at the moment, and to have another player off that can knows where the goal is, exactly. And we've one or two more that we're chasing. Presently.
No, I keep tight-lipped on that one.
I am at the moment, yeah. Until I have the names on the sheets, I'm saying nothing.
How are the girls reacting? Because, I mean, like, results have been hard to come by. Is it kind of hard to keep them motivated week in, week out going into games?
Well, I don't think so, really, because the training is very good. The attendance of training is very good. They're enjoying the training, from what they're telling me, anyway. They're certainly working very hard. And the bus is usually very good. Like, coming back from Rohini last week, you'd think we'd won the game.
Yeah.
The spirit was very good. Like, the spirit throughout the whole game was great. And in the bus afterwards was excellent. Training this week has been very good, and conditions were miserable, but they still trained away hard. A bit deflated now, I think, today, all right, but that'll be gone by Monday, hopefully.
So, as you said, January 25th, you're back in action. What would represent a good second half of the season, though, for you?
I want to get our first win under the belt and pick up a few more points, definitely. And I want to get the scores on the board, because we're not scoring, which is a big problem. We're holding our own throughout the fields, but we're not putting on the scoreboard.
Is that a bit of a monkey on the back, not getting that win?
I think so. Yeah. And I think everyone feels it at the moment. So to get the first win would probably make a huge difference.
The floodgates might open then, you see.
Well, a number of floodgates, but certainly the river should start flowing anyway somewhere still.
Fingers crossed.
We're going that way, but you know, the longer it goes on, the harder it gets.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Johnny, thanks so much for calling to us.
You're welcome.
Best luck for the second half of the season. No doubt we'll talk to you before the end of it.
Yeah, thanks, Rory.
Johnny Lynch there, Cork City Women's FC boss, talking to us about the first half of their season, beaten 3-0 by Castlebar Celtic and Bishopstown this afternoon. Half-time whistle just gone at the Emirates, where it is Arsenal 1 Newcastle 0. Olivier Giroud with the goal that separates the sides there. Going to talk Gaelic Games, and the Munster GAA Awards are being held tonight in Dromoland Castle in County Clare, where six Cork people are up for awards. Alan Cadigan is the under 21 footballer of the year. John Cronin, the intermediate hurler of the year. Jennifer O'Leary, camogie player of the year. Angela Walsh is the ladies footballer of the year. Derry Gowan picks up the Special Merit Award for Culture. Cork and Glenover's Patrick Corrigan has been named the Senior Hurler of the Year, and has spoken to Lisa, and she began by congratulating him.
Thanks, son. Thanks.
Much like the championship you won, you'll have beaten off some tough competition for it, so it's a good honour.
Yeah, we went through a month, so probably off to a shaky start there against Waterford, and obviously came back in the second half and being 9 points down and showed what we were about, and we followed on in the second day, and you know, we beat them well enough the second day, and from there on then we clicked into a gear of our own, and we just every game that came, like, we were just playing very well, and I suppose we won Munster then, and after that then we leave off that, I suppose.
Yeah, we can, because we've talked enough about that, but it's reflecting on the nicer days of the Munster Championship win that you'll have on nights like tonight with the Munster GAA Awards. And like I said, you've beaten competition now from Limerick for the Hurler of the Year, Clare, even the Waterford lads, there would have been lads there that made massive contributions the 2 days against G. It's such a well-contested championship.
Yeah, I think mostly I'd say no. You could have picked any one of the 15 of our team, to be honest, because if you look back at all the games, there was no one played bad or anything. Everyone played out their skin, like, so I'd say it was just the lucky one that got picked out, like, you know.
Well, that's a very modest answer to give. You've received quite a number of individual awards at this stage. Do you prefer to kind of sideline them while you're still playing?
Not like it's
the way I look at this, I'd hand it straight back if I could win a big trophy with the team, like, and, you know, I'd look at it that way. But it's nice to get, obviously, but I'd prefer the bigger ones, like, you know.
I know, I'm sure. Look at the 241 you scored across the Munster campaign this year, and a massive 211 against Clare, 8 points in the final. Your value as a marksman, one of the reasons you picked up this award this weekend, and we would have talked about it as well, you know, your role as a free taker, things like that. You don't feel any pressure doing it. It's something you've done for an awful long time now.
Yeah, well, I don't feel pressure, but... if I miss it, just down to obviously bad technique and all that. But no, I'd say anyone on our panel, like, wouldn't feel much pressure, because they'd all believe in their own ability and all that kind of story, you know. So when it comes to playing at that level, like, they're all well used to it, and, you know.
And the technique, like, I often consider as well, even in rugby or anything like that, place kicking. At what stage in your hurling career would you have started looking at the very kind of specifics of free taking to try and work on it to make sure your accuracy levels were consistent?
Not long ago, actually. A long time ago, I would have just kept practicing, like, and just getting, obviously, you get better the more you try. But then, with Kieran, there was when Kieran came on to, he was selected there, I remember it was 3 years ago now. He just put a kind of system in, like, that, you know, you have to get better every day, like, so you have to see your progress, and we came up with a routine that, you know, you go through, and obviously the numbers go higher then as the better you're getting, like, so. That's just the rally walk off, isn't it?
You've in the recognition again, this award too, your leadership on and off the field, Patrick, has been recognised. Is it something you're very aware of as a county player, that you show leadership roles off the pitch as well as on?
off it, everyone be the same, like, they all just, you know, do what they can for the team and all that, and on it, everyone, I suppose, just whatever you can give on the day, give it, and if that's what it's seen as, then it's nice, like, you know.
Patrick, obviously your hurling year came to a disappointing end with the club as well as the county, but how has the off season been for you? Did you enjoy a good break?
Yeah, I didn't do anything. Just did a bit of my own training there the last few weeks, and get back into it there now soon and drive on again from there, you know.
And you're back training now with the county very recently, so how would you describe the mood in the camp coming back together looking towards 2015?
It's good. It's obviously not enjoyable, the running, like, but have to be done as well, you know, and it's good. It's good old mood there anyway, and obviously with the cold, it's, you wouldn't be looking forward to many nights going out on the pitch, but that'll all come good as well with the nice weather there in a couple of months, you know.
Ah, yeah, the hard slog has to be done. Big talking points these days, Patrick, are the retirements that we've seen in intercounty hurling. Not something that's hit the Cork hurlers, but, like, were you surprised with some of the Kilkenny and Tipperary players that retired, and kind of the change in face of hurling these days?
Nah, sure, the Kilkenny fellas are grand with their 10 medals, like. I'd say if a lot of us had won, no, we'd be gone as well. But no, it's a. They're all after winning. They can't win much more, like, so I'd say they just save enough of it, like, you know, what can you do? They're after winning everything you can win, so they're going out at the top.
Now, you've mentioned already you don't really want to talk about how things ended for the Cork seniors this year, but is it fair to say there's just one aim, one goal for 2015, one expectation for the seniors? That's the All-Ireland.
Well, that's been our goal now for a long time. We obviously came close to 2 years ago, but we thought we were flying last year, and we were too, like, as everyone could see, like, going through Munster, and it turned out winning Munster against Limerick was actually better form than everyone probably thought at the time, because they went so close to Kilkenny as well, you know.
Look at Patrick, you're one of six Rebels there in Clare tonight, picking up an award. Have a brilliant night.
Nice one, thanks.
That's Patrick Horgan there of Glen Rover speaking to Lisa earlier on today, heading up to the Munster GAA Awards tonight in Drumoulin Castle, and cracking Cork representation, Patrick, named the senior hurler of the year. Alan Callaghan's the under 21 footballer of the year. John Cronin's the intermediate hurler of the year. Jennifer O'Leary's the Camogie player of the year. Angela Walsh is the ladies footballer of the year. And Derry Gowan picking up the special merit award for culture. Cracking Cork representation, Lise.
Yeah, it's great. As regards the ladies, obviously the Cork footballers, you know, it was en route to All-Ireland success for both sides. And the Munster Camogie doesn't have the same competition as maybe the ladies footballers or the hurlers, but Cork still have a very strong record in it, so it's brilliant. Alan Cadigan's football award, great to see, because I think at this stage in the year you forget how big a contribution he made at the earlier start of the year in the football for the under 21s. So yeah, fair play to all the Cork winners there tonight. I hope they have a good one.
Right, half time at the Emirates. Arsenal leading Newcastle by a goal to nil. Both sides of a penalty appeals turned down though. Helen Lewis.
Arsenal 1 Newcastle United 0. A good half from Arsenal, who've dominated long periods of the game so far. Olivier Giroud put the Gunners ahead after 15 minutes. A towering header from Sanchez's cross. Mertesacker's hit the bar and Welbeck's had a goal harshly disallowed. At the other end, chances have been few and far between for Newcastle, but Szczesny was forced into a good save from Gouffran from close range. Half-time, it's Arsenal 1, Newcastle United 0.
Right, still to come on the show, we're going to talk, Robbie, going to talk to Tom Tierney, who's been appointed New Ireland Women's Head Coach. Going to hear from Anthony Foley and Conor Murray, head of Munster and Claremont over tomorrow, and we're going to talk to the Cork County Boxing Board as well. It's all to come between now and 7 on The Bench.
The Big Red Bench, Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. with Kiri's Hyundai. Believe everything you hear. Kiri's of Cork, Mallow and Middleton. Kiri's.ie.
Very, very welcome back to the show. Roaring Lisa here with you until 7 o'clock. We are going to turn our attention to rugby now, and Tom Tierney has been appointed the new Ireland's women's head coach. The Cork Horn coach has spoken to us about his new role, but first, the small matter of his side's Munster's New Cup semi-final victory over Young Munster this afternoon.
Yes, it was a very, very tough game, which we knew it was always going to be against Young Munsters. We haven't beaten Young Munsters in Cork in about three seasons now. So, to win today and to get into another Senior Cup final was brilliant. And the lads played very well. So it's a very good day all around. And thankfully, we're looking at another Senior Cup final. And funnily enough, against my old club, Gary Owen.
Indeed. Before we talk about that, a 28-16 win. Talk us through how this game panned out. How were you fixed at halftime?
We were in good shape. We were in good shape at halftime. We turned around 11-3 up at halftime. We played some very, very good stuff in the first half. Played in the right areas, and we knew that Young Munsters were going to come at us in the first 10-15 minutes of the second half. So we really concentrated on those first 10 minutes of the second half, and thankfully we got into an 18-3 lead. And from there on, then we were always two scores ahead. And it looked a lot more comfortable than what it was, but the scoreline was very, very satisfying. And thankfully now we're over a semi-final hurdle and looking at another final.
Indeed, and as you said, a familiar side in the final now. You're taking on Gary Owen in 2 weeks' time, Tom, yeah?
2 weeks' time. It's down for the 27th of December, so not much of a Christmas break. But the boys don't mind that, because obviously the cars of a Senior Cup medal is there for them, and we're very much looking forward to it, and it's all systems go.
And before that, you do have a Cork Derby now next Friday night under lights again against Dolphin.
Absolute huge game. Cork derbies are as tough as anything in rugby, and it's going to be a huge occasion. There's going to be a great Christmas feel to the place on Friday night here in Temple Hill, and it's going to be one hell of a game. There's going to be quality in both sides. You know, Dolphin are going to be pretty much full strength, which unfortunately from their point of view they haven't been for most of the season. So they'll be looking to put one over on us. And again, it's another team that we haven't beaten in a couple of years. So it's another huge occasion for us, but we're fully focused on back on the league now. We've parked the cup competition for a couple of weeks, and it's a huge four pointer for us, and we're in third place at the moment. And we're just looking to get, you know, to put in a performance, to be competitive, to hopefully get the win, and you know, and that, and that's what it's all about in the league. And if we can do that, then we'll be setting ourselves up for a real crack at turning Euro on the 3rd of January.
Great stuff. I'm looking forward to next Friday night myself after your last game in Musgrave Park indeed. But Tom, that's a big tick as regards domestic matters for you today after a big day yesterday and your new role with the Irish Women's Rugby team. You're going to be the new head coach. Congratulations on that.
Oh yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, it's a huge opportunity for myself personally, and obviously my career as a coach has been given a little bit of a boost there with the appointment. It's a great honour for me. I'm under no illusions that it's going to be a very difficult job. International rugby always is, but over the past couple of seasons, the Irish women's team has shown how much quality and class they have. So it's something I'm very, very much looking forward to, and looking forward to a very competitive Six Nations, and can't wait to get started.
And when did the process start for this appointment, Tom, or where did the whole journey start?
Yeah, only a couple of weeks ago, I was previously the Irish Club International head coach. So obviously I was kind of a small bit in the system, and I was in view of these people. And I got a phone call to see what I consider it. Obviously my primary commitments are here with Cork Con, and once there wasn't any clash with my commitments in Cork Con, you know, the opportunity was there for me, and I'm really, really looking forward to it. I can't wait to get working with some quality players who are, you know, at the end of the day, you know, they're world class, because they've proven it in the Six Nations 2 years ago when they won it, and also the World Cup where they beat New Zealand. So it's a huge opportunity for me, and can't wait to get started.
And you'll be assembling the squad soon enough, I'd say, for Six Nations preparations, will you?
We will, yeah. We'll be getting cracking at the end of the month. We'll have our first training camp on the 28th, which is obviously the day after the Senior Cup final. So it's all systems go for me on a couple of fronts. But you know, at the end of the day, it's my job. I love what I do, and it's great to be involved in these things. And it's going to be a busy December, January. I tell you that.
In big changes, because there's been a couple of high profile and experienced retirements there. Have you started work on maybe looking to new talent to bring in, or where has that started?
Absolutely. You know, it's there has been a couple of quality players having retired, Lynn Cantwell and Fiona Coughlin, to name two, that have been superb for the women's game. And you know, the loss of those players is going to be a huge void to fill. But there's a huge program being set up for the women's to get to try to unearth quality players, you know, of all ages, you know, and bring them through. And that's a process that's going to take time, obviously, but the quality is definitely there. And it's something that, you know, it's only going to get better and better and better, and to be given the opportunity to be part of it is brilliant for me personally, and I'm looking forward to it immensely.
This is it, Tom. It's a very concerted effort now, it would seem. Anthony Eddy coming in as Director of Women's Rugby there. Marion Earls coming in as Head of Strength and Conditioning. It's about a team and a professional setup.
Absolutely, you know, and I've been informed about, you know, the quality that Anthony is going to bring, and obviously Marion, from a strength and conditioning point of view, is they're two huge appointments, and you know, the women's program is very, very lucky to get them, and I just have to make sure that they end up being very, very glad that they have me on board as well, and that's the challenge, and that's what it's all about, to be able to push yourself and to really force yourself into being as good as you can be from a coaching point of view, because at the end of the day, the quality player deserves the quality coaching, and that's the challenge, and it's a huge challenge, but it's one I'm looking forward to.
And how well would you know the squad of girls, Tom?
Well, I would know them from most people watching them on telly, and reading about them, and getting to, you know, and getting to know them from afar, obviously, because I had no connection to it. But you know, obviously, over the past couple of days now, it's been part of my job, and I've been doing a lot of study on it, and you know, it's I tell you, you know, the quality of player is world class in Ireland, and you know, it's something that I'm very aware of, that I'm being brought in to add extra value to that, and that's something that I'm going to work hard on. So hopefully that you know, that we can take a couple of steps forward, and that's the goal, and hopefully it'll come through.
And what do you think the Tom Tierney stamp on women's rugby would be after a couple of years? What sort of goals do you have?
Well, it's at the end of the day, when you look at the previous results from the Six Nations 2 years ago, they won the Grand Slam, you know, beating New Zealand in the World Cup the last time. So, you know, it's about aiming high, and it's about being realistic at the same time. But, you know, getting to a World Cup semi-final and final is not out of the reach of this squad of players, and that's something that we'll be really, really hammering home to make sure that we can kind of give ourselves the best opportunity to fulfil those goals. And and that's what it's all about, to be aiming to be the best, and then seeing how far you can get there, and hopefully then making sure that all the nuts and bolts that are needed to actually get there, and the detail that is needed to get there, you know, we have all work done, and we give the girls the best opportunity to perform on the pitch, and that's hopefully where we'll be in a couple of years' time, that we get to where we want, you know, from a goal driven point of view, we get to where we want to get to.
Great stuff, Tom. Exciting times, looking forward to it. Look, finally, while I have you, we're discussing it here on the show tonight, Munster Rugby tomorrow. How do you think they'll fare against Claremont?
Well, do you know what? There's been a lot of doom and gloom around the place since last Saturday, and you know, that is that, you know, in my view, it's setting it up for a huge performance tomorrow from Munster. I think there'll be a lot of guys licking their wounds after being outperformed and being outmuscled somewhat against Claremont last weekend. And I tell you, Munster will put in a very, very good performance tomorrow. Whether it's good enough to win, I don't know, but hopefully it is. But they will go to Claremont tomorrow, and they will play rugby. And it is there from, like, you know, everyone is making out Claremont to be the best team, you know, in sliced pan after last week's performance. But I wouldn't subscribe to that. Munster aren't as poor as how they played last week either. So there's a bit of a happy medium between the two, and I think Munster will be really, really up for the game tomorrow. I think they'll be a lot tighter. I think they'll be a lot more craftier, and I think they'll put it really up to Claremont, and I would not be surprised if Munster come away with a win, and a quality win, because it's all about the backlash when you put one over on Munster. Mm-hmm. It's very rare that you get two wins in a trot against Munster, the same team, and that's something that I'm looking forward to tomorrow, for Munster to put in a really, really good performance, a really smart performance, and hopefully they get the results.
Indeed, we've been here before at Munster. They've proven they can do it against all the odds. Tom, the very best of luck in your Ireland role next year, and in the short term, the continued success with Cork Conn in the Cup and in the league.
Thank you very much. Cheers.
That's Tom Tierney there speaking about Cork Conn's Munster Senior Cup semi-final win over at Young Munster, and of course being named the Ireland women's head coach. So a big job for Tom.
Good couple of days, eh? Yeah, very best of luck to him. I think it's a great appointment. Tom has, you know, he's doing a great job there with Cork Conn, and has great experience as a former player himself at Munster in Ireland, and you can hear he's so enthusiastic about it. But I would say that for many it's an exciting appointment because of the success that the Ireland women's team have proven over the last couple of years, and particularly this summer. And I just think the whole announcement by the RFU, excellent yesterday, Marion Earls coming in as strength and condition. Like, how many times did we hear during their World Cup campaign how important that role was? Yeah. So all great stuff. Best of luck to him.
Yeah, and certainly Arsenal have gone 2-0 up on Newcastle. Santi Cazorla scoring a cracking second goal to put the Gunners in a comfortable position. 54 minutes gone on the clock there at the Emirates Stadium. Alright, we just heard Tom speaking about Munster and Claremont tomorrow. Massive game in the European Champions Cup. 3:15 is the kickoff Irish time. Munster head coach is Anthony Foley.
I thought scrums we did quite well, to be honest with you. I think early in the game we were being judged harshly. I think as the game developed we showed that we were a more dominant scrum than them. We attacked our line out, but they attacked our line out as well, and we ended up with key turnovers and key moments of the games where we felt that you know, we could have gotten some ascendancy into the game if we could have gotten cleaner possession. Some of that is down to the opposition, some of that is down to an interpretation, and you know, we just need to we hopefully will have that cleared up going into this weekend of what you can and cannot do. So we want to get that right, because obviously set piece is a big focus for both sides going into the game, and leaves you with a good position if you want to go and win the game. And unfortunately, you can't really afford to turn over those sorts of balls or have those mistakes in terms of dropping the ball in malls and stuff like that. You can't afford it at this level. We'd identified where we wanted to go. I think our last two passages of the play weren't ideally what we'd set out to do, but when you look back at the video, it did create opportunities, but we didn't take them. So that's something that we've obviously looked at yesterday and tried to have a clear understanding of where we need to get to in terms of our attack. We still need to use the ball better. We still need to, when we're in their 22, we still need to maintain possession and put them under pressure, and we didn't do that. A lot of our play would have been between the 10 and the 22, and that still allows them to defend with a bit more of a drift in their line, you know, and push it towards the touchline, which you can take away closer to their own line. But unfortunately, we didn't get there, and that leaves you with an element of frustration.
Yeah.
I did say last week that they're a very good side, and they were coming here, and they're different than any other French side, and they're very threatening. So probably everybody else has seen how good they are and how well equipped they are to have a crack at the European Cup, and we just need to we understand that, we understand where we need to get to, and understand the level of performance. What we did on Saturday at times wasn't good enough, and you end up losing the game when you're not good enough against a side like that. Some of the things we did against Saracens, you know, we didn't do them against Clermont, and you know, you don't expect to win the game if you're not on top of your game, you know. So this is a high end competition, so we need to push for the standards that we know we have, because we've done it in more recent times. We've done it, so we need to find that and go after that. This is going into rounds 5 and 6 anyway, regardless. I think even before a ball was kicked in this competition, or in the competition, this group was always one of high quality, and you know, it's hard, and we appreciate that, but we do understand that we're half time in this fixture, and we need to go after them in their home patch the same way they come after us in ours.
That's Anthony Foley there, speaking ahead of Munster and Clermont tomorrow. Saracens in action this evening as well, Lisa, which is of massive importance to Munster.
Yeah, Saracens look to be in control of the group now. They're beaten Sale 21-8 with about 58 minutes on the clock there.
Arsenal, meanwhile, have extended their lead against Newcastle. It's now Arsenal 3, Newcastle 0. Olivier Giroud, one of the most deft finishes you'd ever see, flicking the ball with the outside of his left boot after a cross from about 6 yards out. Cracking finish from him, his second of the game. Arsenal 3, Newcastle. And they're going to hear from Munster and Ireland scrum half Conor Murray looking ahead to tomorrow's game.
Yeah, I suppose you wouldn't never make excuses. It was a greasy night. You know, you can't spread the ball that wide, so it's probably easier to know where a team is going to try and attack you in close quarters. And they, in fairness, they did. They got off the line in numbers and kind of suffocated us at times. But saying that, you know, we're a good physical team as well. You know, we stuck in there and you know, and had a chance to get a score and maybe a draw towards the end of the game. So we have to take positives from it, you know. The way I'm looking at it is that we didn't perform as well as we could have, and we were 7 points, within 7 points of them. So if we perform this weekend, it'll be a different game. They'll play a lot differently. They'll probably kick a lot less and try and attack us a bit more. But we got to be ready for that and take it up a level. It's probably a mental kind of strength or commitment you have to make. You know, maybe we're just a little bit of a few percent off in terms of physicality and willingness to be physical against them. I can't really pinpoint it, but we know it's got to go up a level this week. With the greasy ball and conditions, teams can take more line speed. You know that there's not going to be a floaty pass over your head or a double skip or whatever. So in fairness, they defended really well. They defended us really well, and we just struggled to get that first ball carry to get it as a go forward momentum builder for us, you know. And then once you're on the back foot, you're struggling, and teams can, you're probably better off not having the ball, where you can ramp up line speed and just put a team back on the back foot. So that's a challenge for us this week. We've little tweaks to our game plan that might help us get that. So that's you know, we will find out Sunday, please God.
That's Conor Murray there speaking ahead of Munster and Clermont tomorrow. 3:15 Irish time is the kickoff for that one. A very, very tough ask from Munster tomorrow. Although I heard Tom saying that there might be a big performance in the Reds tomorrow following last week. A lot of wounded Munster players, a lot of fellas licking their wounds following that game last week. So fingers crossed.
Yeah, once a team loses, you know, so badly and so disappointingly, you know, you'll always see, well, more often than not, you'll see a real bounce back, and Munster will be famous for that. Mm. And at least it's against the same side with these back-to-back fixtures. That adds a massive, there's great intrigue to it. So hopefully they can learn an awful lot about the opposition. But like they, like Anthony Foley references there, they probably will play a little bit different at home. But yeah, as Tom Tierney said too, maybe Munster's poor performance flattered Clermont a little bit, and maybe they'll, you know, be a little bit more relaxed at the start of the game, and Munster can blitz them like they blitzed.
Fingers crossed, anyway. All right, we're going to go up to the Emirates. Alan Lewis.
Arsenal 3, Newcastle United 0, and Arsenal are rampant at the moment. Olivier Giroud has got his second goal of the game, a blistering run down the right by Bellerin, crossed for Giroud, who scored with the outside of his left foot. A beautiful goal from the Frenchman. It's Arsenal 3, Newcastle 0.
Right, we're going to talk boxing now on the Cork County Boxing Board. The latest winners of the North City and District Sports Award, sponsored by the Gresham Metropole Hotel in association with award sponsors Grona Brohair Credit Union and ourselves here at Cork's Red FM. The board is celebrating their centenary this year, and their PRO Mick O'Brien joined us earlier on today to talk about their achievements.
Thanks, Rory. It has been absolutely outstanding in centenary year to receive this award, and I suppose it reflects the outstanding work that has been done by a lot of people over 100 years, culminating in this award this year and the ceremonies and celebration we've had during the course of the past year.
Tell us a little bit about what exactly the board do.
Well, in actual fact, the way the board is structured currently is there's something in the region of 31 clubs in Cork City and County. And they vary from place to place, and they run in actual fact from Bantry, Dunmanway, into Macroom and out to Rylan, and over on the other side it goes to Kentork, from Moy, Middleton and Shanagarry, and throughout the city, both north side and south side. And what they actually do is they organise leagues, championships, and the winners go on accordingly, Lisa, and they participate in the Munster Champions and in the All-Irelands.
What's the participation level like for boxing in Cork?
Well, it's very good insofar as what we have, if you look from top to bottom at the moment, we have something in the region of 1,000 boxers in Cork. In addition to that, we have about 100 coaches in the 30 clubs, and it's a concentrated operation, and it's done 3 to 4 weeks by the clubs.
And how many people have you working on the board to coordinate 1,000 boxers in Cork?
Well, normally the way we work in conjunction with the clubs, and it's done at county board and delegate level. And it's done accordingly by the secretary in conjunction with the treasurer, and it's overseen by the president, Ted Barry. So the operation is done very, very successfully from that point of view. Plus, I suppose, the fact that then you've got to bring in the marketing structure, and you've got to bring in the PR structure, and these are very important.
Have you noticed actually since the Olympics that the uptake in boxing, particularly in kids, has grown?
It has indeed, and particularly in female boxing, there's been a huge increase in female boxing, and Ireland is the most successful Olympic sport internationally. Mm-hmm. And as a consequence of that success, more and more people are drawn to boxing because the facilities are improving everywhere, and hopefully it will continue.
And you've mentioned the different clubs around Cork there that you work with. Over maybe the last number of years, have there been many new clubs, or are there new clubs coming on board?
They have indeed, because when the board started initially in 1914, which was 100 years ago, it started actually in the army and the civic yards, who later became an Garda Síochána, and there was only two or three clubs in Cork. In the 30s, there was about 16 or 17 clubs in Cork, and the highest was about 20 or 21 clubs in Cork. But over the last 4 to 5 years, we've gone to a synod, and it is now in the region of 30, 31 clubs and growing.
When you look back over the history of boxing, I suppose, in Cork and some of the famous names, I suppose Jack Doyle is the one that immediately sticks out.
Well, Jack Doyle stands out more so for his notoriety in actual fact than what he actually won or achieved, because he actually never won anything bar a British Army Championship. Yeah. Now, he was a contender, as the song would suggest, Jimmy McCarthy's song, and he could have done a lot more, but his potential was there, but his commitment wasn't, unfortunately. But having said that, in Cork we've had outstanding people in boxing over the years. We've had great names such as Tommy Hyde, Paddy Martin the Champ, who would be Micheál Martin's father, Sketchy Roach, Gunnar Murray, and of course our great Olympians of latter years would have been Kieran Joyce, Paul Buttermer and Michael Roach.
Yeah, I trained under Paul Buttermer. He's a character.
Paul is an outstanding character, and he's doing a tremendous job of loving his club, which is Northside and the City Centre today, and he's doing a fabulous job, and he's a great club going there now.
It's amazing as well, like, for a city the size of Cork to have such a big, I suppose, a large amount of boxers go on to fight in the Olympics.
That's right. Well, over the years, in actual fact, the Olympics started in 1924 for Cork boxers and for Ireland as a country, and up to 2014 when we had a junior Olympian in the person of Christina Desmond last year when she went to Nanjing. We've had nine, which represents, I suppose, one in every 10 years, which is absolutely not bad at all for a sport like boxing on Lee's side.
And the future's looking very bright. You've a new development that you're looking to open up soon enough, I believe.
We are indeed. And that development will come in Knocknaheeny. We've, I suppose, €1 million has been promised by Minister Michael Ring. He's given us a commitment on that. The City Council have promised us something in the region of €500,000. They've also given us the land to develop, and we're currently waiting on the completion of the lease. All these things have been put together, hopefully, in the next couple of weeks. And early in the new year, I expect to see the site being developed. And this time next year, we'll have a state-of-the-art, high-performance Cork County Board headquarters on the north side of the city.
Is that something then that all clubs can use, or how will that be? How will that benefit everyone?
It will benefit everybody from the point of view that all clubs will be able to use it for the leagues when we meet every week, or maybe twice a week, then at that stage when we'll have the facilities. It'll also be used for the championships. It'll be used for tournaments when clubs wish to book it accordingly. And it'll be also used as a high-performance unit where certain boxers from all clubs, worked on a time basis, will be able to come and use those facilities to improve their talents, their styles, their attitudes, their outlook and their performances accordingly.
No, I only took up boxing when I was about 26 just to keep fit, but it's a big regret of mine not starting it sooner. So if people are out there listening saying I want to go boxing, how do they go about it?
Well, how they go about it is they get involved with their local club, and then they approach their local club. The earlier the better. You can start at 8 or 9, but you can't start competitively until you're 11 years of age. At that stage you'll begin to know the ropes and you'll be taken through it, and you'll have a situation then as you like it and you develop and you prosper in the sport. You get older, you get more competition, you get the opportunity to go places if you have the outlook. Now, on top of all that, like, we're highly dependent in boxing in Cork on finance. And from that point of view, our marketing department is very, very important as well. And we're very lucky to have people like, we'll say, for example, Cornel Thomas is a guy there of Cornel's Tree Services, and he's an outstanding sponsor of Cork Boxing, and he has helped a lot of clubs, and recently he has helped a club in Cantock, the Duhalla Club, and they have a bus now on the road for their club members, and they're absolutely delighted. And we'd hope to attract other sponsors like that. We have a couple at the moment, but guys like Cornel Thomas are doing outstanding work, and as our performances improve and our successes come in, we'll be looking to get and hopefully achieve more in the line of sponsorship with these people, these business community.
And with Spike as well having that high profile knockout of Anthony Fitzgerald a couple of weeks ago, the spotlight is really on boxing in Cork at the moment.
The spotlight is in boxing in Cork, and Rory, I was just reflecting there an actual effect of the memories I had this particular year on boxing in Cork, and the three memories that would stand out for me effectively would be, I suppose, around the 15th of May when the minister committed that €1 million to Cork boxing. That was an absolutely fantastic feeling. The second one would be Kieran Joyce when he was announced as Boxer of the Century at our dinner dance in the Montanari Hotel, when in actual fact 250 people stood and applauded, prolonged as everybody sang the banks, and he was announced as the winner. It was a magnificent memory to have for life. And the third one for me, and probably number one, would be Gary Spike O'Sullivan's knockout of Anthony Fitzgerald, because that was a classic.
Beautiful
shot. It was carried on Sky Sports, and Spike is a guy who's an absolutely outstanding character. The amount of work he does in Cork for charities and for people in hospitals and sick children is absolutely phenomenal, and he's done this without any care, concern or any financial remit. Spike O'Sullivan is a guy who needs to be backed by the Cork people. He's a guy that needs to be backed by Cork sponsors, and most important of all, he's one of the most willing and obliging guys that I have ever met, and he's a guy I absolutely love endorsing.
Hear, hear. Mick, thanks so much for coming in to talk to us. Congratulations on the centenary, and if there's anything we can ever do for you, give us a shout.
Thanks, Rory and Lisa.
That's Cork County Boxing Board PRO there, Mick O'Brien. They were the latest winners of the North City and District Sports Award, sponsored by the Gresham Metropole Hotel in association with award sponsors Grand Brothel Credit Union and ourselves here at Cork's Red FM. Right, Newcastle have pulled a goal back. Alan Lewis.
Arsenal 3, Newcastle United 1, and Newcastle have pulled a goal back. A callback free kick was headed in by Ayoze Perez, and Newcastle came back from four goals down a few seasons back against Arsenal. Could it be back on again? It's Arsenal 3, Newcastle 1.
They have 20 minutes in which to do it. That is pretty much it from us tonight. Thank you very much for tuning our way. We're back tomorrow from 6. Stevie's up next with the Block Party. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday evening.
Missed the show? Grab the Big Red Bench podcast at redfm.ie. With Kiri's Hyundai. Believe everything you hear. Kiri's of Cork, Mallow and Middleton. Kiri's.ie. Red FM.